Legislative Day 7, testing in the House chamber.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Daw. We'd ask everyone to stand for the prayer, the members as well as guests in the gallery, and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Good morning, Representative Daw.
Can I ask that we take a moment of silence for those who pray differently than I? Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone. Silence the pianos with muffled drum. Bring out the coffin. Let the mourners come. Let airplanes circle moaning overhead, scribbling on the sky the message he is dead. Put crape bows round the white necks of public doves. Let the traffic policemen wear black cotton gloves. He was my north, my south, my east, my west. My working week, my Sunday rest. My noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. The stars are not wanted now. Put out every one. Pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood, for nothing now can ever come to any good. God, we are at a crossroads. Give us strength to mourn our losses and guidance to see our way through to the future. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer, and to you, Lord, we give thanks. Amen.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion. I'm recognizing the gentleman with the Chick-fil-A cup. Yes, sir. This will be for a motion to approve the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for February 3rd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for February 3rd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Representative Hall is recognized to send forth two bills from the Rules Committee. The clerk will read.
Representative Dustin Hall, Rules Calendar and Operation of the House Committee Report.
Bills
House
asked.
House Bill 4, Extend ABC Permit Renewal Fee Deferral, favorable.
The bill is added to today's calendar for action.
Senate Bill 36, 2020 COVID Relief Bill Modifications, favorable.
That bill, too, is added to today's calendar. Introductions of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representatives Warren, McNeil, Carson Smith, House Bill 48, Concealed Carry, Emergency Medical Personnel.
Bills referred to the Committee on Judiciary 3, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Cleveland, Warren, Adams, and Clampett, House Bill 49, Concealed Carry, Permit Lapse, Revised Law.
Judiciary 3, if favorable, rules.
Representative Dixon, House Bill 50, Calypso Annexation.
Local government, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Penny, Goodwin, Kidwell, and Hunter, House Bill 51, Eastern Counties, Public Notices.
Judiciary 4, if favorable, local government, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Cleveland, Blackwell, Hurley, and Clampett, House Bill 52, Equal Tax Treatment for Government Retirees.
Finance, if favorable, state personnel, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Cleveland, Bell, and Martin, House Bill 53, Education Changes for Military Connected Students.
Homeland Security, Military and Veterans Affairs, if favorable. Education, Universities, if favorable. Rules. Members, we're going to take up Senate Bill 36 first. There's apparently an amendment coming for House Bill 4 that has not been received. So with that, Senate Bill 36, Corporal Reed.
Senators E. Jackson, Herdsman, and Heiss. Senate Bill 36, the bill to be entitled an act to make certain modifications for 2020 COVID-19 relief legislation, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. What a way to get the session started. Spend a little money, work together cooperatively, and do good things for this state. This bill has been a really good effort by a lot of people, but it's only the first of several COVID bills that we will have this session. But what a way to start. This bill was a joint effort with the Senate. It started in the Senate. The next COVID bill will start here in the House, and we're working on that for the next week or two. We'll allocate more money. We got input from the governor's office, the state budget, the staff. So it was really a good way for us to come together and really make a difference for this state. The bill started out as a purely technical corrections, and then we were going to move into the next phase, which would be the money. But as we got into the discussions, we realized there was some money that we needed to get out sooner than later. And that is part of what this bill does. It allocates money as well as fixing a lot of the technical corrections. Chairman Arp and I are going to review this together. He will talk about the appropriation component of this. And I'll just take a few minutes, because I think by now everyone's heard about this bill, either in appropriations or rules. I hope you've had a chance to read it. It's fairly short and concise. But what it does on the technical side, you may recall that back in December, Congress passed a new stimulus or CARES Act. And one of the things that bill did in Congress was extend the work that we had done back last fall for what we thought at that time was going to be December 30, 2020, an end date of having allocated those funds and dealing with the COVID components of operations. They actually have extended that and allowed us to carry that money over for any unspent money to December 2021. So part of this bill is actually a lot of date changes. You'll see in sections 3 a lot of money. There is no new money in section 3. It is correcting and fixing dates, many of which are extending the date to December of 21, or a reporting date. So, again, most of those are purely technical to comply with federal changes in the timeline. Section 1 is actually a very important correction. You recall that we provided a $335 extra credit grant to families with children in school. Well, as they filed their taxes and they started getting those checks, I started getting a few calls. I'm sure you may have gotten a call or two, because a lot of families did not get their check, and they were due the check. They earned it. They had kids in school. But there was a software problem with the tax reporting system. And what happened was it wasn't that important, except this year when it was a key component to determine if you were eligible for the $335 check. So what Section 1 does is it fixes the components of the tax law to enable those funds to be sent to many families that did not receive a check. So if you've gotten a call, if you've had someone ask you, when am I going to get my $335 check, this will fix that. There's about $80 million still in that fund that still needs to be allocated. And so we're just reallocating, fixing the software glitches, and the money will start flowing out. Hopefully that money will go out fairly quickly. And again, Section 3 is, again, mostly date changes. There's no money impact. The money comes in Section 4 and 5. Now, I would tell you one other thing before I turn over to Chairman Arp. You might have an amendment, or you might have a thought on a COVID-related item. I've gotten several since this bill was made public. We're going to do another COVID bill, and it's likely we'll do one after that. So if you have an amendment, the next bill will start here in the House. Get that to us, and we'll run that through the process and the staff to make sure it's appropriate and COVID-related, and we will try to make every effort to get that in this next COVID bill. And there are some things that we need to get in this next bill that are still related to things like dates and extensions. So I encourage you, if you have an amendment or a thought, we're not going to change this bill because this is coming across from the Senate for us to vote out and get this money allocated. But get that to one of the appropriation chairs, and we will be working on that in the next couple weeks. And Mr. Speaker, I will turn it over to Chairman Arp to review the appropriation components.
Representative Arp, you're recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, colleagues. Chairman Lambeth indicated, the first three sections of the bill are date changes that coincide with the federal extensions. The fourth section deals with rural broadband. By way of background and history, our legislative body appropriated a $9 million supplemental grant out of the COVID monies for rural broadband. Additionally, another $30 million was appropriated to the Great Grant Program in a second COVID bill. That request for applications went out last fall, before October. Those requests were made, they were scored, and the top performers were awarded. However, none of the contracts were awarded because of a concern about the time to build these projects before the time that the money ran out. And so with the additional flexibility that we've been granted by the federal, what this does is allow us to move money around and fund this with a different type of money that doesn't have an expiration date on it. And so in terms of the rural broadband, the $39 million allows a much more flexible administration of that program. Section 5 deals with the new money from the federal bill. Comes into three areas. The first $95 million is to assist the distribution of vaccines for our citizens. This doesn't cover the cost of the vaccines. The vaccine cost is already covered. This is for the assistance of distribution and getting these vaccines to our citizens. The second part deals with $1.6 billion to our elementary and secondary education system to deal with COVID-related expenses. This is the vast chunk of the money, and it goes to facilitate fully reopening in-person learning in our schools and to pay for summer and remedial programs designed to catch students up. And so one of the primary ways that this money can be used is to reopen schools. Number two, it is to help in the address the loss of learning and the student mental health services related to their needs there. And then third, supporting schools, students and staffs and teachers in opening up the schools. The third component of this is $547 million that go to utility and rental assistance. This program is administered in North Carolina through the HOPE program. This is a program that was started with the first COVID monies And this is an infusion of capital much needed there to assist people in their rental and utility payments. And with that, we stand for questions.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, arise?
Debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the recognition. Just, I don't normally debate on bills, as you all know, but I did want to speak to this one. This appropriation bill is really getting a lot of money out there to the state that we need done. And I'm very proud of the way the process has gone. You know, we passed the other COVID relief, I think, pretty much unanimously. Certainly hope this passes this way today to get these funds out where they're badly needed. But I did want to touch on something that I think deserves a little conversation as well. There's roughly $1.6 billion that's going to be getting out there to education to make sure that we find ways to deal with all the other issues that we dealt with education this year. Right now in our state, most children are not in person in school. And to a person, I don't know anyone who thinks that they're learning just as well at home or wherever on a laptop as they would in person. And so I just want to make sure you all know there's funding in here so that as we come in and as we move forward, we can look at other things like a really robust summer school program, something to be able to get these children caught up. Everyone in this chamber knows exactly a lot of the challenges everyone's facing. And we know, of course, the economic impact we're dealing with this. We know, of course, the health care impact that's out there. But the thing that does not get talked about a whole lot is what's going on with education with the children who are not able to get that in-person classroom experience. And, guys, if we don't get this right and find a way to make sure they're caught up, this is something that we won't be paying for just the next year. We'll be paying for it for decades because these children have to be able to read by the third grade. Studies show time and time again, if a child cannot read by third grade, by the time they finish third grade, their opportunities and their likelihood of success later on in other academic ventures, jobs, you name it, are significantly limited because of that. So I just wanted to let you all know that this, and make sure that folks understand that in this bill today is the funding, the $1.6 billion that hopefully we can go back to and tap for that program in the summer so that these children can get in-person instruction over the summer. We're working on some legislation on that. Still in the drafting stages. Invite anybody who's interested in that. Talk to me. Let me know your thoughts on it. We'll certainly like to see something like that pass in a very strong bipartisan way as well. But this funding today that's coming in is critical that we go ahead and get this passed, get those dollars flowing into the state. We know that this is not the only group of federal funds we'll be dealing with. There'll be more to come here in a few weeks. We've got others to deal with, and so those will be working through. But I appreciate the appropriations chairs. You all have done a great job in the appropriations committee getting this done, getting this streamlined. I mean, this is a major spending bill that we're now doing here in roughly our second week of session and really tried to expedite this process. So this is something every one of you, when you go back to your districts this weekend, can be very proud of knowing that these funds are getting back there and they're going to help real people in our communities back home. But certainly wanted to mention that and appreciate your all support for this bill today.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's the debate the bill.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
And I would just like to, in the proud tradition of the North Carolina General Assembly, repeat exactly what Donnie Lambeth just said. But Representative Lambeth, I agree with you. This is a fine show of bipartisanship, of working together, of having the House, Senate, and Governor's Office work together. It's a great bill, and we're looking forward to supporting it. And thank you for doing all the work that you and Representative Barr put in.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, arise?
To debate the bill.
The lady's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks to all for all the work you put into this bill. But I wanted to, and I'm going to vote for it enthusiastically, but I wanted to raise a point that I raised in September when we were debating this bill because we have some new members. At that point in time, I pointed out that the income limit for receipt of this $335 per child tax credit was $400,000. And then a family earning an income of $400,000 is entitled to receive this $335 tax credit. Actually, because the state and the federal government, as I understand, the state decoupled from the federal tax code on this particular and other issues. So individuals in North Carolina who are earning between $120,000 and $400,000 were not getting this tax credit. So those are the folks who are getting that tax credit in the fix in this bill. In the meantime, we've got about 150,000 North Carolinians who don't earn enough income to file an income tax who still haven't gotten this tax credit. And these are folks who've lost their jobs, are getting evicted, who are suffering the most during this pandemic. So while I really appreciate all that this bill does, I hope that we can continue to focus on those who need the support the most. And thank you to everyone for your work on this. Thanks.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to add my voice to the tremendous effort that's been put forth by everybody to deal with these very complicated situations and to do the best that we can to see that these funds are properly distributed. I would like to indicate, and this is something that I think that we all realize, there is a portent of very stormy financial weather ahead. We're the beneficiaries here of great effort from generations past that have been very frugal and have done the best that they can to posture this nation to where we can be successful and do what we need to do for future generations. Again, I appreciate the effort that's put forth there. I just want us to be aware that there is a portent that we better give heed to be very careful as we move forward for the sake of the financial future of our grandchildren. I will be voting yes.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say I do appreciate the efforts that have been put into doing this, but I kind of feel like this is something we have to do whether we want to or not. We're kind of been put in that position. I asked my congressman, Richard Hudson, back when they did the first one earlier last year, to try to make sure that only people whose income have been affected get these checks. My income has not been affected by what's been going on. And so I told him I didn't really want it. He kind of agreed with me, but seemed like there wasn't much he could do about it. So when we got that $1,200 check, I have a little granddaughter who doesn't have a father, and I have a savings account for her, so I put that in there. But when we got the $600 check the other week, I included it in my estimated taxes on my ministry income and sent it back. And I would just say any of us whose income has not been affected, we do need to try to make sure that the people who have been affected are the ones who get the money. And, maybe some of the rest of you might want to consider doing what I'm doing. If I get a check, I'm sending it back. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Robinson, Representative Graham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speak on the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. I just want to stand in support of this legislation. We obviously, this state and our citizens are going through a tough time. I want to commend Representative Arp, and I spoke to him about this yesterday. His hard work on the broadband expansion. And my commentary this morning is we need to continue that work. We know that our children, our businesses who are trying to conduct their business, especially businesses that are trying to grow in rural counties, we need help. We need help with broadband. It's a business bill. To do that, to expand it, this is a step in the right direction. But we all know that our students learn best in the classroom. And it's unfortunate that we've had many students who are traveling in rural counties trying to find a hot spot to learn. And I would say to this body, to the members in this body, if we do anything this session, let's do something to expand broadband, to get that last mile in play. And when we have these situations in the future, hurricanes, snowstorms, whatever it might be, then we know if our children are out of school, they have access and they have equal opportunity for learning. So I just want to commend the bill and thank the bill sponsors for what you've done, especially on the issue of broadband. Let's keep it moving forward. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 36 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. For the rules, the chair is going to go ahead and start accepting the announcements of the proxy votes. I believe the minority leader may be ready to go. So for that purpose, Representative Reeves is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And we have Representatives Ager, Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Everett, Fisher, Ensco, Lucas, and Raymond Smith, all voting yes.
Okay. Representative Bell, is the gentleman ready, majority leader ready to announce the proxy votes from the Republican members?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to vote on their behalf. Representative Blackwell, aye. Representative Ted Davis, aye. Representative Kelly Hastings, aye. Representative Brennan Jones, aye. Representative Phil Shepard, aye. Representative Larry Yarborough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The chair has not received votes cast from either Representative Terry on the Democrat side or Representative Brody on the Republican side. I'll give the two respective leaders an opportunity if they'd like to reach out to those members to touch base. Actually, if the members will suspend the per the rules, they since they were not in, we'll just show excused absences for both of those two members at this point. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 36 passes its second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 36 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 36, having passed its third reading, is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. And it will be sent by special messenger. Representative Moffitt, is the gentleman ready to proceed on House Bill 4?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. At this point, chair will call House Bill 4. The clerk will read.
Representatives Moffitt, Bowles, Bell, and Paré. House Bill 4, a bill to be entitled an act to extend the delay of the payment deadline for certain ABC permits renewals and to direct the ABC Commission to reinstate or reactivate certain canceled or inactivated ABC permits. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Henderson, Representative Moffitt, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this bill looks a little bit familiar. It looks very much like Senate Bill 226 that this chamber adopted last year, but there were some miscommunications between the General Assembly and the ABC Commission regarding its enforcement. So this bill clears this up, but also does a couple more things. The bill itself is in four parts. The first part retroactively extends the 90-day deferment regarding the payment of permit fees to the ABC Commission for those businesses affected by the Executive Order 141. Sections 2 and 3 allow those businesses that were attempting to operate through the modification of the prohibitions on operation through 169 who paid their fees to also seek a refund of those fees and then move into the 90-day deferment. The 90-day deferment only is triggered when the businesses that are affected are allowed to operate at 100% prior to where they were before the pandemic. And the fourth part, there were a number of ABC permits that were canceled in early January that most of you are aware of. And what this does is it reverses the actions of the commission, and they'll be reinstating those permits.
And I appreciate your support.
Representative Turner, gentleman ready to send forth this amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The gentleman is recognized to send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Turner moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 26, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman from Buckingham, Representative Turner, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I worked with Chairman Moffitt on this amendment, and essentially what it does is it allows someone who would have been eligible for a refund under this bill, who unfortunately went out of business and were no longer operational, that they would be able to seek a refund for their permit fees. So I appreciate your support on the amendment.
Gentleman from Henderson, Representative Moffitt, is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I appreciate Representative Turner for undertaking this amendment. This does make this bill a little bit better, but I will tell you that the debate still rages on whether or not his service in my old House district is a little bit better. So I would encourage the House to support this amendment.
Chair welcomes back the days of Buncombe County bills. Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, those in favor of the amendment will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Amendment A1 is adopted. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 4 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. And if whenever the minority leader or the majority leader are ready, just let me know. Minority leader, Representative Reese, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now we have Representatives Ager, Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Everett, Fisher, Ensco, Lucas, and Raymond Smith, all voting aye.
And those votes have been recorded. The majority leader, Representative Bell of Wayne County, is recognized to announce the Republican proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Blackwell, aye. Representative Ted Davis, aye. Representative Hastings, aye. Representative Brennan Jones, aye. Representative Phil Shepard, aye. Representative Yarbrough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted the affirmative, one of the negative. House Bill 4 passed a second reading and will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 4 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 4, having passed its third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate by a special messenger. Members, it appears in just 40 minutes, the House has concluded a great deal of business and that we've had a lot of substance in these bills. And again, I want to thank the committee chairs who handled these bills and getting these through and getting this legislation proceeding through in such an expeditious manner. With that, we have concluded our calendar, so we'll go to notices and announcements. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, rise?
To wish my new seatmate a very happy birthday today.
There you go. Yeah. Happy birthday. For what purpose, gentlemen from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker and colleagues, the Health Committee will meet this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Our agenda will be updates on the vaccine distribution, a lot of interest in that. Secretary will be here talking, and then we'll have a public health director from Johnston County. But we will continue that discussion next week at our Health Committee at 10 o'clock. Both meetings will be in room 643. Certainly, we'd like to have all the committee there, but if you're interested in updates, because we know you're getting lots of questions about the distribution of the vaccines, eligibility, and so forth. You're welcome to attend. We will try to get you out of here this afternoon before too late. We've tried to cut it back to just a couple presentations, and then the following week with the, I think there's about four presentations next Tuesday at our normal health time slot. Thank you.
For what purpose, the lady from Davie? Representative Howard, rise.
To make an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
The lady has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I'd like to announce that the formation of the biannual wine and grape caucus is, has been put together. The purpose of the wine and grape caucus is to effect a very positive economic and cultural impact on the wine and grape industry in North Carolina. The caucus will be chaired by myself on the House side and Senator Vicky Sawyer on the Senate side. The caucus is open to all members wishing to promote the value of wine and grape industry in the state of North Carolina, and we would invite you to join if you would so choose. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soker, rise?
Fair announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Committee on Energy and Public Utilities will meet on next Tuesday, February 9th, on the sixth floor in the other building. At 3 p.m., we'll have one bill and a couple presentations, so I encourage everybody to be there. Thank you.
Members, for your planning purposes, we reviewed the calendar. This, of course, is the beginning of session where the bills are still within the committees and so are not necessarily ready immediately for four votes. So the chair is going to declare that there will be no recorded votes on Monday or Tuesday of next week. So possibly Wednesday, Thursday. Just keep an eye on the calendar. I do know there's some committees that are going to be meeting, but no votes Monday or Tuesday of next week. Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, February 8th at 12 noon, subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Kyle Hall, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, February 8th at 12 noon, subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House stands adjourned. Ratifications, bills, resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 36, an act to make certain modifications to the 2020 COVID-19 relief legislation.
Chapter bills will be noted.